This is the greatest hour to follow Jesus.
I want to talk to you tonight about worshiping the Lamb. And the bridal heart. I have the worship team here, aka the Levites. Dom in 2017 maybe had a, you woke up out of a sleep screaming the Levites are coming. Well, that was true. Look at all of you. I know, like Natasha and Amy almost took my head off. They ran through there. This guy just went for it. Just love you all. Yeah. Cam and Joelle, you guys are incredible. Guy somewhere. Guy, Jose. Wow, you guys are phenomenal. Janae. All of you. You're just wonderful. And I'm glad John and Dom are here. I'm glad all of them are here. Did I forget anyone? I'm trying. I didn't go in order, so it was possible I skipped somebody. Do you know the Levites in the Old Testament? The Levitical reward was different than Israel's reward. Their portion was the Lord. That's what the scripture says, that when the Lord was breaking up the reward for the 12 tribes, he said, the Levites receive the Lord. How many of you would rather have the Lord than material possession? Amen. Joel, thank you for all you do. Thank you. Thank you. Take your Bibles to Revelation 4, verse 8. This one's going to make some of you mad. I'm just saying. And this is intense, what I'm about to preach. But it is what it is. We've gone too far to do it for people. As much as we love you, we can only love you if we really love Jesus. Revelation 4:8. Before we read this, I want us to realize that the next 7 to 8 verses that I'm going to read are accounts of the worship scene in heaven. And before I read this, I want to say that the worship scene in heaven, unfortunately, has become much different than what the worship scene down here has become. Worship belongs to the kingdom of priests. We are all a kingdom of priests. Every believer has a priestly ministry. Revelation 5 teaches us that. But the church has to lose the hustle. There's too much hustle. There's too much pursuit. This thing isn't an industry. This is a holy calling. It's a bridal calling. So if we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the worship scene down here should long to model the worship scene up there. So what I'm about to read to you are accounts from the book of Revelation regarding that scene in heaven. Revelation 4, 8 through 11. The four living creatures, each having 6 wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, I want you to listen to the wording, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I want you to listen to the lyrics of Heavenly Psalms. And while I'm reading them, I want you to compare them to the lyrics of songs we sing in church down here. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship, underline worship, him who lives forever and ever. If you're wondering why we worship, there's your answer. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you, not me, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And this is why. For you created all things, and by your will, they exist and were created. Scripture saying you didn't only make them, but you keep them in existence. Jesus holds the chair together that you are sitting on. Jesus keeps your body together right now. The only reason you don't explode and become a piece of slime that my kids make all the time and get stuck in our rug. If you've ever been there, say amen. Not my kids, my one. The one, I love you. And that's what you turn into if Jesus was not on the throne. So the Bible says he holds all things together, and in him all things consist. Let's look at another worship moment from heaven, since worship moments are so popular today. Let's check one out. Revelation 5, 8. Aren't I being a little feisty tonight? Revelation 5, 8 through 14. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb. Who'd they fall before? Say the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? You got it. Each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Never shortchange the power of prayer. Bill used to beautifully say, and he probably still does, that when Gabriel came to Zechariah and said, the prayer that you've been praying has been heard regarding the birth of a son named John. Bill beautifully described how the text could actually mean the prayer you stopped praying is still before the Lord. Prayers live forever. They rise like incense. And they sang a new song, saying, let's listen to the lyrics of this song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. We've heard that song before down here. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. I know a lot of y'all want to get on out of here, and we will for a moment, but make no bones about it. The saints will rule and reign on a restored earth, on a purified earth. The rainbow that the Lord sent to the earth in the days of Noah was God's promise that he would not destroy the earth again with water. But Peter clearly tells us what will happen, that the heavens and earth will be purified with fire, and that Jesus himself will rule and reign from Jerusalem, and that the saints will reign alongside him and even judge the worlds and the angels. You better up your game if you're going to judge an angel. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels. You want to know what angels sing? Around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. God loves choirs. That's why we have one. Not because they're in. Seriously, it's not to get YouTube views. It's not clickbait. There's none of that going on. Not because they're trendy now. We have a choir because they have them there. And God likes them. They sing with a loud voice. What did they sing? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, are you hearing this? Creation itself will sing another song. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Hallelujah. What did that trigger? I feel Jesus. What did that trigger? Then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped. True worship triggers more worship. Worship who? Him who lives forever and ever. See, some worship songs. Few worship Jesus. Do you know the clearest, in my opinion, in my life, which has been a while now, I was saved in 1989, and I can tell you, that was, oh my word, 31 years ago. Is that right? Kathleen's like, I don't know, I wasn't even born. Let me tell you this. I have discovered that the clearest and most consistent pathway into the manifest presence of Jesus is pure and true worship. It can do what the greatest sermon will never do. That's why you're all here. How many of you came from outside of Orlando to be here tonight? Oh my gosh, like a quarter, 25% of the room. All right, look, you didn't come because of my teachings. I've been preaching the same thing for 15 years. You hear one, you're gonna hear it again. So why did you come? You came to be with him. Worship is, in my opinion, the most direct and consistent pathway into the manifest presence of Jesus. Period. The tragedy is that in the West, a worship set is the appetizer for the meal called the sermon. The only problem is this. God never promised that the sermon be the meal. He promised that he would be the meal. He is the meal. The sermon is just a little piece of the puzzle. You've heard me talk about this, but I was at Todd's last week, or this week, whenever, Thursday. And I was teaching in their school. And do you want to hear something funny? The night before that, was it night before? Two nights before, I got to join the Bethel tour with Upper Room, and I preached in Tulsa. They asked me to come preach the gospel. It was beautiful. And like a few minutes before I got on the platform, I went to tie my shoe. John was with me, and I heard, whoosh. It's never happened to me before. And my pants ripped right down my butt. And I'm like, no way. Because that's never happened. I've never had it happen. I go, Jess was there. Lily came to help us. I go, I have a problem. I only brought one pair of jeans. I panicked, like I started sweating. I don't know how, but Jess called Lily right away. Lily came from her room. I don't know where she got the sewing kit. She ran downstairs, gets the sewing kit, and she starts, Jess is like, come on, Lily, we gotta do this, you know? She starts trying to sew it, and it won't sew. And then I'm like, well, even if you close the hole, I can't preach thinking that it might open again. And we're talking about we are ready to walk out the door. I'm like, oh my gosh. Out of all meetings, I'm with Bethel in Upper Room, and there's a hole in my pants. So I panicked. I go, babe, give me your jeans, quick. So I went in, I rushed in, I put them on, and I'm like, I come out, and I'm like, what do you guys think? They go, you can't go out like that. Lily goes, you look like Peter Pan. You can't go out like that. And then Jess goes, but you maybe you could. You'll fit in with all the musicians. You look perfect. You know I love you. But it's true. So then I put sweats on, but they were like, I had flown in them. Huh? Yeah. No. So then Michael Jones, I don't know where he is. He was running the book table. He booked it to a store and bought me some jeans. I got to throw them on. You went fast. You didn't break the speed limit. That's sin. We'll have a confession after. He brought back the jeans, and thank God. I ran, but they weren't the most comfortable, but they worked. They were better. So the day, 2 days after, I preached in my sweats at Todd's, and everyone's like, dude, you're preaching in sweats now? What's the deal? I was like, well, it's a long story. But we started to worship there, just very gently, and people started crying. Just from even an instrument. Because the Lord is jealous of true worship. Let me read you a few more verses, and then I'll close. And we'll continue probably next week and maybe the following. The 24 elders, Revelation 11, verse 16 through 19. Do not miss what I'm about to tell you. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God. Would you listen to me just for a moment? Look up this way. There's a time to soak and a time to offer. One of the reasons I have you guys stand up often when I take the platform is because I feel like you're sitting when you should be standing. And a lot of times we're running when we should be sitting. It's a spiritual maturity issue. Some of you don't know how to wait on the Lord because you grew up in what you thought was Pentecost. But it was just flesh. Not that all Pentecostals are in the flesh, but some of you scream in tongues so long, you can't hear the Lord. And you want your pastor to hear him for you. But you're married to him too. I'll never forget being in Houston. And as I'm preaching, this picture of Oral Roberts just shot across my mind's eye, in my heart. I had just this quick little word of knowledge. The Bible calls it a similitude in Habakkuk. A quick picture. Then I saw just a quick picture of Oral sitting praying for the sick. And then I heard the Lord say, sit down and pray for the sick. I said, but I don't ever do that. He goes, I don't really care. Then he said this to me. Well, he didn't actually say that part, but he probably thought that. I don't really care if you've ever done it before. But then he said this to me. Michael, I'm going to give you a choice. You sit and I'll work, or you work and I'll sit. Clear as day, I heard it. I go, okay. So I said, somebody give me a chair. So I sat there. You can watch this on YouTube. I think it's called Healing Outbreak or Healing Something in Houston. I'm telling you, one after the other started getting healed with just me sitting down on a chair. There's a video of a girl calling, her husband calls her. I don't know if you guys have seen this. Her face, her mouth is like somewhat paralyzed. And we put her on speakerphone and connect that or hold the microphone up to his speakerphone. And we got to listen to the miracle happen over about a 5 to 10 minute time span. You have to know when to wait and you have to know when to offer. And some of you sit in your chairs when the king is just walking into the room. I don't understand that. I mean, I love you, but I'm trying to help you. You see, our bodies, listen carefully, are to be living sacrifices. Our bodies are to be given over to the Lord. So there is a time to clap. There is a time to dance. There is a time to bow down. There is a time to wait. There is a time to sit in the glory of God. Absolutely. But you don't just stumble into the glory. The glory of the Lord, the manifest presence of Jesus, is not at the gate. Maybe I'll have time. I'm sure I will. This is an eternal assignment here. You guys are stuck with me. Yeah, thank you. One of you are happy. All right. Israel's tabernacle had a gate, 3 sections, outer court, inner court, holy of holies. The glory rested in the 3rd section, which, by the way, had no candlelight because no candlelight was needed. God doesn't even need you to strike a match in his presence. The glory was the light. That's why the priest could minister to the Lord on the Day of Atonement. But that doesn't start there. It starts with offering. It starts with sacrifice. It starts with a gift. That's why our offerings are so important, even with our finances. We come in and give. God receives it as worship, not as a loan. God doesn't need our money. How many of you figured that out? God's going to be all right without your $8. He's fine. That's not the point. But at the gate, there is sacrifice involved. That includes the body, movement, song, clapping, our voices. Praise actually has to be given. In order for it to be thanksgiving, you have to give it out of your mouth. You say, why would God want to hear it? Because he has ears. He likes it. Why do you want to hear it? You know, I've heard so many theologies. Well, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me 3 times? Because Peter denied him 3 times. True. But the Lord's not a theological robot. You think he needed the third one just to check off the box theologically? Or did he love the sound of Jesus, I love you? Was twice better than once and 3 times better than twice? Of course, he's got this romantic side to him. Jesus loves our thanksgiving. He loves our praise. You don't come through the front door going, woo, woo, woo. And you know what? Can we have fun tonight? All right. So good. It is so good. But make sure he's so good. This thing's gotten so vague. So good. What? What's so good? Just, all of it. Well, what? Tell me. That is so good. That cross is so good. The blood is so good. Are you listening? Jesus becoming man is so good. Jesus coming to save us when we didn't want anything to do with him. That's so good. Jesus giving his back to those who whipped him. That is so good. Say it all you want, but make sure it's directed and not repetition. I find it amazing that people get saved and they leave a mainline denomination and they always say, I came out of religion. But you're saying so good and you don't know why. You're still in religion. Yeah, maybe you don't light incense anymore or candles. Or have stained glass. I like stained glass. We're going to have it in the new building, by the way. Ooh. Yeah, we are. You left that, but now you say hallelujah and don't mean it. You think you're coming to Jesus' image in your heart, well, you should be coming to Jesus. You sing songs and you just can't wait for the message. You're over it in 20 minutes, but if heaven's going to come to earth, you better get used to singing. There's a whole lot of it. I'm only three verses in. Three passages in. Huh. I'll never forget going into Africa preaching. And a photographer came up to me. He's like, this is Africa. I go, okay. He goes, I'm like, I'm well aware. He goes, you have to preach with more passion here. I go, what do you mean, like stir myself up? Well, it's hard to take pictures of you. You're just so calm. I didn't know that's what the gospel was about. I don't know my shouting equaled anointing. We're all kinds of religious. You can walk up to someone who's doing horrible. How you doing, brother? Bless God, I'm blessed and highly favored. And you're having the worst day of your life. Am I right? You come in the front door the way God wants you to come in because he formed you. He's the king and the object of the worship. Therefore, he sets the standard. And do you know why we lift our hands in his presence? Why I ask you every week? Because the Bible says to do it. Lift up holy hands. Well, why? I don't know. But he likes it. Yeah. Good, Jimmy. You're getting it. Very proud of you, Jimmy. Well done. Jimmy goes... Let me keep going. I have 8 minutes. Who gives a rip?
All right, listen up. They fell on their, this is a Roman, or Revelation 11, 16 through 19. They sat before God, the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God. If God gives you a seat of authority, you need to know when to jump on the ground. Saying, "We give you thanks." They said it, notice. Didn't soak it into the Lord's heart. They actually said it. Oh Lord, now let's listen to the lyrics. Oh Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Listen to this. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven. You want the door to open to his presence? Worship him. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in the temple, and there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. Wow. Revelation 14, verses 3 through 5. They sang, say they sang, as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000, speaking of the chosen of Israel, who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones, listen to this language, who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These, underline virgins, these are the ones, the virgins, are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. You want to follow Jesus, you need a virgin heart. Purity. Purity. A life of devotion. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit. Holiness of speech. The fear of the Lord. No exaggeration. Telling the truth all the time. For they are without fault before the throne of God. Give me a few more. Revelation 14, 7 through 8. Saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." And another angel followed, saying, listen up, "Babylon is fallen. It is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." I want you to see the difference between the two hearts. The first heart in verses 3 through 5, virgin hearts who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Pure hearts, bridal hearts, a true bride, as Eric Gilmore says beautifully, does everything with the groom in mind. But there's another heart. It's the heart of Babylon, the heart of mixture. It's a great city, look down at verse 8, to the eye. It's a lot of people, a big building, big meetings, a lot of followers, influence, a lot of money, a lot of downloads, a Spotify and iTunes and YouTube views.
I love what Dom said. She goes, I haven't even looked at some of those videos. I don't even want to know how many views we are because I don't even care. And that's why I'm glad she's here. I'm not joking. I'll take our tribe over anyone. And I love them all, but if I'm telling you what God has given us here through worship. If all of them combined came and said, we'll give all of us, you give us that crew. I said, I love you so much, but I'm keeping our crew. It's a great city to the natural eye. But the world, Babylon, offers us a drink. Comes with a drink, an offer. You take a little sip, you think it's just a drink. Make no bones about it, it's fornication. I've been feeling strongly lately that myself and other leaders must protect the purity and innocence of our houses of worship, our families of worship, everyone here, and our worship movements. Protect it. Push away and resist that fornication. Revelation 18:1 says, Babylon. Well, I'll just start at verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. He cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen. It is fallen. It has become a dwelling place of demons. Listen up. A prison for every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Speaking of the demonic. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. She's impure. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Listen, this is a very important word. And the merchants. The merchants. Those who make merchandise of what is holy. And how many of us have prayed, Jesus, those of you who are watching me, I feel this strong for those of you who are watching this at home. Never forget what I'm preaching, worship teams. Do you remember your prayers when you said, God, if you just use me? You were all alone in your little dorm or apartment. Use me. You had no money. You were broken. You felt like totally forgotten. And then God started to use you. And then maybe you started to use him. It's fornication. There's another word for it. It's called harlotry. And it's fueled by the spirit of the age. Look at the end of verse 3. The merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her, Babylon's, luxury. God doesn't have a problem with nice things. He just has a problem when nice things have you. It's the spirit, listen carefully, this is prophetic what I'm telling you. The spirit of the age is longing to mix with bridal worshipers. It's happening right now. You've got to hear this as a warning. The spirit of the age, Babylon, that system that is fueled by the love of money, where it is the root of all evil. Why do you think churches and systems are created? Just to get butts in the seats. Do you think it's just for our own egos? Or do you think people have figured out that butts equal offerings? I'm serious. Not here. I said not here. Not here. We have to commit. No, 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 no. This is about Jesus. This is about him. The spirit of the age is longing to offer drinks of seduction to pure-hearted bridal worshipers of the Lamb. You go from worshiping the Lamb to worshiping you. and eventually worshiping the enemy himself. Hallelujah. The enemy of our souls, listen, is still offering what he offered Jesus on the Temple Mount, on the pinnacle of the temple. He took him up to the high place, the pinnacle of the temple. What did he offer him? What did he offer him? He said this, "I will give you the kingdoms of this world if you'll just do one thing, worship me." Worship me, and I'll give Babylon to you. Worship me, I'll fill your pocket. Worship me, Jesus, I'll make you king over these kingdoms that I control. I'll give you a golden diadem so you don't have to wear a crown of thorns. Just worship me, that's all I want. All I want is your worship, and I'll give you everything. Tonight, Jesus, I should say the enemy, still just wants your worship. And his promise is still this, the world. Oh, I've had encounters, I won't even share them because people would not handle them properly publicly. But I'm here to tell you, the enemy wants your worship, and you can give it to him in a church service and not even know it. You write a song for this, you'll trade your soul eventually. You write a song so people know you. That's Babylon. At the throne, they don't sing about us. They sing about Jesus. There's only one other person song mentioned in heaven in the book of Revelation. In the same sentence as the Lamb song, it says, "And they sang the Lamb song and the song of Moses." They're still singing Moses' song up there that he wrote when they crossed the Red Sea. Do you know why? Because he got it from up there. He just picked it up. And you go read that song in Exodus 15, and you will discover it has nothing to do with Moses and everything to do with the Lord. Listen carefully. Everyone here is a powerful person. Stop downloading stuff just because it looks cool. Or the camera shots are creative. Or the guys you or girls you like the most are singing it. If you want to listen to it to go to the gym, do it. But in order for something to be worship, it has to meet certain qualifications. I can't just write whatever I want and say this is a worship song. No, that's a you song. The church needs to step into its powerful position and change the taste buds of the body of Christ. Because we have to ask ourselves this question. Are we celebrating what Jesus celebrates? Can I have 3 more minutes? Ecclesiastes says this, one fly maketh the ointment putrid or foul. One fly that speaks of sin and the darkness of the enemy. One fly falls into the anointing oil, it ruins all of the oil. The fight is not to get more. The fight is to continually allow the Lord to reduce us to simplicity. One fly maketh the ointment putrid. Let me read this to you quickly. Don't miss this. Ecclesiastes 10:1. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment. That's the anointing of the Lord. And cause it to give off a foul odor. You can start in the glory. Start in the anointing. A little compromise. All of a sudden, what was on you takes on a different flavor. It doesn't feel the same. It doesn't look the same. The sweetness is gone. People are still coming, but to the mature in Jesus who've been with you, who knew you before you started, they walk in and go, they're different. What happened to the room? It takes a while for the nations to figure it out because God allows the ministries to continue for the sake of his kingdom. That's the whole truth of the wheat and the tares. He waits to the end of the age to separate them so that the church isn't uprooted. But to the mature in Jesus, they go, oh, he's different now. She's different now. Same songs, no tears. Same volume, no moisture. Same lyrics, no authenticity. Bigger following, more money. No glory. You see, the devil today will only offer you the world because that's all he's got. Jesus will never offer you the world. What the enemy offers you, as great as it might look, is temporary. It will burn. What Jesus offers you is eternal. And it will be illuminated eternally. Last scripture. How does this happen? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 and 34. Do not be deceived. This is what Paul's saying. Don't be deceived. You ready? Evil company corrupts good character. Awake to righteousness. In other words, come alive, awaken to the fact that you are the righteousness of Jesus, that you've been redeemed, that you have been set free. Know that you're born again and completely brand new. And do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. He's speaking to the church. He's saying, the reason you're compromising is because you don't know him. And then he says in verse 34, I speak this to your shame. I'm calling out your immaturity. I want to challenge you. You give your heart, your ears, your eyes to something. Don't look for the flamboyance of it. Don't look to see how many views it has. Ask yourself this question. Am I deeply moved in my spirit? Is it breaking through my soulish self? Who cares if it excites you? Does it move you deeply to be with Jesus? Oh, it's still the love of money. And don't miss this here. At the core, after all, I mean, harlotry and prostitution is just choosing money over marriage. That's what it is. It's money over marriage. It's, can I buy her for a moment of gratification and forsake an eternal marriage? And today, you can receive the money of Babylon and forsake your eternal marriage with the bridegroom. Harlotry is still choosing money over marriage. Why did Judas betray Jesus? Why did Ananias and Sapphira die? What did Aaron mishandle but the gold that God gave him? Why did Balaam mix prophecy and sorcery if not for the wages paid by the evil king? And why was the temple turned into a den of thieves? Take heed what you hear, Jesus said in Mark chapter 4. Pure worship has to be protected at all costs. If you're homeless on the street, choose it before you sell out. Oh, I watch very carefully. Very carefully. I watch our teams very carefully. All I have to do is watch them worship in holy moments, and I know where they're at with God. Not to freak you out, but that's what's going down. I'm worshiping too. But Bill taught us that. Watch them when he comes in the room. It'll tell you if they've been with him in private. I've watched some of the most famous people blow right through moments and the world singing their songs. It makes me wonder. It makes me wonder what moves us. Who cares what the world is singing? What is heaven singing? God is bringing a warning of love to us, to our teams, to me, to Jess, to the entire leadership, to all of us, to our school. God has given us something very special here, a pure worship movement, a movement of bridal hearts. We must keep it. We must resist mixture and avoid evil company at all costs. Do you love me still? I love you. Stand to your feet. A theologian named Donald MacLeod said this. He said, at the end of the day, Christianity is worshiping Jesus. That's what we do. We are worshipers. Lift your hands to heaven. Every hand lifted. Pull this in by faith tonight as I pray it and make it your own. Father, we long to be faithful. We long to walk with you and love you. We long to know you. And we want to be a faithful bride filled with this bridal heart who worships the Lamb. Start with us individually. Do it in me. Have mercy on us. I hear the words of Jude. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us blameless before the throne. We ask that tonight, that you would do this in us. Present us blameless. Keep us from falling. I pray for this house, that your mercy would encircle us like a fiery hedge of protection. And Lord, as your word says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Keep his ways, agree with me, keep his ways away from Jesus' image. Keep his ways away from our family. Keep his ways away from our musicians, our vocalists, our events, our school. Keep his ways. Keep self-exaltation light years away. And let us worship you as they do in heaven, and let heaven kiss earth here. Have mercy on us, I pray, with everything in me. Have mercy. Now cover us in the blood. Shower your goodness, your grace, your glory upon us. Let this be an end time company of bridal lovers addicted to their groom. In Jesus' name, amen.
To get daily teaching from Michael and to follow our event schedule around the world, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Be sure to subscribe to the Jesus Image TV YouTube channel as well. By partnering with Jesus Image, you will help us take the saving and healing power of Jesus to the world. Your giving changes lives forever. For more information, please visit us online at jesusimage.tv or write us at Jesus Image, P.O. Box 950-640, Lake Mary, Florida 32795. Thank you for your prayers and financial support. Jesus is the answer for every life, everywhere.